There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men News YouTube channel. It's me and it's Ross, and we're here with another slice of Liverpool-flavoured news from the big football pizza. I'm Chris Pajak. I'm heavily dosed up on painkillers.
What are they giving you?
And this is Ross Chanley. We are backed by The Athletic, as we have been all week long and for the best part of a month now. It's actually a really good partnership for us. Hope you've enjoyed their content, those of you who have signed up. I know a lot of people have. We've had some really good feedback from some of our subscribers as well about The Athletic content. It is the best written coverage of Liverpool Football Club anywhere in the world, and you can get 50% off your yearly subscription, making it around £2.50 a month, and you get a month's trial free. Makes it about £2.50 per month. It is the new home of football writing, and we are here, as I mentioned, to talk about Liverpool news. And we're going to start with an Athletic piece, actually. And this is one about Joe Gomez that was done by James Pearce. I've highlighted a couple of paragraphs, Ross. Really, it was about how people were too quick to jump on Joe Gomez for his performance last night. If anyone's watched The Final Word, I absolutely did jump all over Joe Gomez's back. But I think the thing that, to back me up, obviously I'm going to do that. I didn't say he was shit. I didn't say he was rubbish. I said he had a poor game. And I think you're allowed to be critical of somebody's game. The best player in the world can have a bad game. Yeah. I think Joe Gomez was rusty last night. But James Pearce has talked about it. And he says, Gomez's been around so long, it's easy to forget he's only 22. Putting into context, Van Dijk had completed a move to Celtic from Groningen. Harry Maguire was playing for Hull in the Championship. Koulibaly was playing for Genk when he was Gomez's age. Sammy Ipia was still playing for Willem II, and Stefan Onsho was playing for Hamburg. It wasn't until the mid-20s that those two centre-halves moved to Liverpool. So I suppose James is talking about Gomez bucking the trend. And, you know, first of all, let's talk a little bit about his game last night. Where were you with Gomez? Did you think he had a good game? Do you think he had a bad game? Do you think he was indifferent?
Hit and miss. I think, you know, I said that for the whole squad last night, I think, can't you? You know, everyone was really good for 38 minutes and then other parts of the game. I thought, you know, when Salzburg come at you, I don't think, you know, James does it in his arc. He kind of breaks down every goal, and it's like, it's not Gomez's fault for every goal. You know, it's Van Dijk, he gets done for the first goal. That's not Gomez's fault and stuff like that. And, you know, I think at the second goal, I think he jumps in a bit rashly and clatters into someone and take a quick free kick for the second one. You know,
but good play by Salzburg.
You give credit to the other team. I think I was so quick. It's knee-jerk reactions. And obviously, you know, you did the Twitter last night, and that tweet that you actually did very well for saying you can't just vilify someone for having a poor game. You know, it's rustiness, and that's the standards that Liverpool have got to now. You know, that's what we're judging people on. You've had a game for ages. The standards are so high, you have to come in and be good, and if you don't, you get found out. But when he's supposed to put him in, you can't just shoehorn him into a game. He needs his game time. And he's there to be relied upon. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago before Matip came in. Everyone loved Joe Gomez. Mm. You don't go from being how good he was and his form was before he got injured to then just being completely and utterly shit. You know, it happens. Everyone, like, when we have a bad days at work, you know, it's just he's on a massive platform for everyone to go and watch, and, you know, it gets exploited, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So moving on from that then, Liverpool have not been thrown out of the Carabao Cup, which is absolutely fantastic news. Some people think it is, some people don't actually. But Liverpool, Paul Joyce broke this yesterday. Liverpool to be fined £200,000 for fielding an ineligible player in the Carabao Cup win over MK Dons. They will not be expelled from the competition. £100,000 of the fine will be suspended until the end of next season. I'm glad that they stuck with precedent that was set in 2014 by Sunderland when they fielded a player who wasn't able to play. It's a bit mad that we even got into this situation, but glad that it's been resolved quite quickly for the FA, actually.
I think they had to, because, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal, I don't think they really wanted to cancel that game, did they? Because it's an advert for English football. But I think there's all stuff that's... It's not as obvious and as clear as that, is it? Because I think Liverpool had applied for paperwork, like, over 90 days ago, and, you know, they were waiting for something to come back. And it is daft on Liverpool's part of, you know, whoever the admin is of just playing him. But, I joked about it the other day. I think whoever's at the FA have gone, Petr Kvyat doesn't still play for them, does he? I think someone should look into that, and we've been found out. You know, it's stupid on our part, but it's also quite fortunate. And like you said, had it been done four or five times or whatever, you know, I think the final, the repercussions become significantly bigger. But like I said, Liverpool applied for stuff. And, you know,
I think the other thing as well, Liverpool handled it really well, actually, didn't they? They came out and Jürgen Klopp said, you know, it was wrong of us, apologies to MK Dons and all that. And they kind of owned it. And I think they were, you know, they spoke about how it was something that they'd applied 90 days before and blah, blah, blah. And it's a drop bollock, ultimately.
Also, it was a substitute as well, which I know doesn't make it all right, but how do you, like, you know, scored three goals and not MK Dons out of the cup? I think you think of it in a different light then, don't you? Going, he was influencing the game where it was he came on, and that's all I saw of him.
Absolutely. Okay, so the date has now been confirmed then for the Liverpool-Arsenal clash. It will be at Anfield on the 30th of October, kick-off at 7:30. Is that a random kick-off time?
Yeah.
7:30? Do you normally do 7:30s, do you?
That's because we normally do 8 o'clock, so we play midweek in... Yeah,
like there used to be quarter to eight used to be a thing in one of the competitions, didn't it? So it was 8 o'clock last night in the Champions League. So is it the Premier League that kicks off at quarter to eight then? I know the two competitions are separate. 7:30 is just I don't know, maybe it's just being me, but it seems really random that. Anyway, so to put that into context, that I've got the games in front of me now, and from the next international break, after the Leicester game, we've got an international break. Sunday the 20th, Manchester United away. Wednesday the 23rd, Genk away. Sunday the 27th, Tottenham home. Wednesday the 30th, Arsenal home. Saturday the 2nd, Aston Villa away. Tuesday the 5th, Genk home. Sunday the 10th of November, City home. Manchester United, Tottenham, Arsenal and City in 8 games.
In a short space of time as well.
What's that, 20 days? Yeah. 8 games?
Yeah, it
or 21, maybe, if there's 31 in the month. I don't know. I'm not going to even do the rhyme now because it's embarrassing.
as glorious as it is taking a mick at Manchester United at the minute, sometimes they kind of become, you know, the form, whatever goes out the window, because it's a derby and they get up for that game. So I think you can't take that as an easy ride. Genk, as we saw last night, drew with Napoli, so that's not going to be easy. Obviously, that's away. Spurs, and you know, we spoke about it off camera before, you know, an animal wounded after getting absolutely destroyed by Bayern Munich. We've got to see how they come back, but you know, you like to think Liverpool can come through that. And at the Carabao Cup game, I'd like to think he might stick with kids, a mixture of kids and experience again. Because the likes of Joe Gomez, I think, if Matic's fine, he only go game time, Chamberlain, Keita, and the likes of that will come in for those games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, we need to get through the Leicester game before we can even start to think about this. And hopefully, Liverpool's players don't come back with any injuries from the international break. What tournament is the international break for? Is it for a tournament or friendlies?
I don't know, but I wish they stopped just... I've said before, this is like the second one, isn't it, already? And we're seven, 8 games into a Premier League season. Just have the break, but don't play any Europe, any whatever it is.
You just want a mid-season break?
Just let them have a rest. Do you know what I mean? It makes the Premier League better. They've all had a rest and they can gather themselves and then go into the busy period.
What you're saying is, to fix our season, international football should now just be stopped.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I will vote for that. Get it on change.org. I'm sure we can get a million votes and take it to Parliament.
Well, every time there's the summer...
You might have a bit on the plate at Parliament at the moment to be dealing with our international football.
What do you think?
Maybe, if they're in.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. So
maybe
you
tell them it might screw people's pensions, they might be up for it.
we're not allowed to talk about politics on here, apparently. Sorry. We get loads of comments about it. It's part of life. We move on. Brendan Rodgers did a really interesting interview with Goal.com. And he's also spoken to The Telegraph as well. And this is what he said to The Telegraph. When I received a phone call from Mike Gordon on the way home from the Everton game, this is when Rodgers was in charge of Liverpool, I understood what it was for, what was about. From that perspective, maybe I could have gone in the summer, but they wanted to give me a chance. It was a tough start to the season and they felt it needed a change. Look, it worked out brilliantly for them. When Liverpool won the Champions League, I sent them a message congratulating them and Jürgen. I am the type of person who is happy for the club and especially happy for the players like Henderson and Milner, players I work with and have a strong relationship with. I was so happy for Jordan when he lifted the Champions League trophy because I know how much he has developed and worked for it. I was never going to be bitter. That's why I let Jürgen move into my house. It's really nice here. And he was always a lovely guy, wasn't he, Brendan? But it's nice to see this on the eve of a game with them.
I think there's only three players that are left, or maybe four, and he's not mentioned Lovren or Lana, but it's some of the players that you like working with.
Didn't he sign Bobby as well?
Yeah, committee signed Bobby, didn't he?
Well, come on, man.
Didn't really
care. This was always the problem with Rodgers at Liverpool. When he makes a signing that worked, if you didn't like him, it was the committee. If you did like him, it was Rodgers.
Right wing back.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I remember Dan and Farley sat on the couches going like, what's Bobby Firmino doing? Like, and I think everybody at the time was a bit like, who is this lad that we've signed? Like, but now...
Yeah, you're right there, on the whole it is nice. You never get the other side of the story, really. Do you? You kind of manage your side, you're done with him, you're looking forward to the next big shiny thing, which is Jürgen Klopp, and rightly so. So it's kind of nice to kind of hear him speak about that. And to be fair, it's kind of worked out for him as well, hasn't it? You know, he went out a good few years at Celtic, you know, his boyhood club, and you know, he's come back, like you said before, to come and try and prove himself in the Premier League, and he's doing a good job, so...
I would absolutely recommend everybody to go and read this article. There's another little bit here where he talks about how good Jürgen Klopp is and what makes him a good manager in modern football and stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. So do go and check that one out. And the final little news piece, I suppose, is that Cesc Fabregas tweeted during the game. Now, Cesc Fabregas, obviously, formerly of Arsenal, of Chelsea. I think he's playing for Monaco nowadays, isn't he, Cesc? Tweeted during the game, Sadio Mane is top three players in the world and has been for a while. I should probably put the tweet on the screen for anybody watching. But where is he? I mean, he's up there, absolutely up there. So who's his top three here? I mean, are we literally just going Van Dijk, Salah, Mane, or...
Yeah, Van Dijk, Bobby, Mane, yeah.
Van Dijk, Messi, Mane, maybe. I wonder, he did vote for Cesc did vote for Mane in the best awards as the best player of the year. So it's clear that he rates him very highly.
Yeah.
He's got to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, we joked about the FIFA best awards and stuff like that. It's kind of nice to hear this from an actual footballer or a current footballer that appreciates what Mane does, because, you know, so many people can go like, you know, the FIFA boys are going, you know, Messi's a pinup boy for FIFA, Ronaldo's a pinup boy for FIFA, and that's just someone breaking the world and go, actually, you know, Messi's, okay, by his own standards, has been slightly lower than normal. But that's not to say that other people like Mane and Salah aren't very good. You can't just ignore what they've done for the past two, three seasons. And I think that, you know, the way that Mane plays, you know, I think he's significantly improved. We always spoke about his finishing, he getting the right places and take people on. But, you know, he's improved vastly. And I think, you know, the debate always comes up, who's the best in our front three? And you can't pick one because they're all world class.
Yeah, and they're all different, aren't they? Yeah. That's the other thing. I mean, I don't think the front three works without Bobby Firmino.
No.
But that's not to take anything away from Mane and Salah, who still have to put the ball into the back of the net. You know, Salah, I didn't think he had a particularly great game last night. Sorry, I just read the word opponent off the screen. That's why it popped into the middle of that sentence. I don't think he had a great game last season. last night. But... he pops up with two goals and we win the game because of him.
I think the other thing with Salah as well, because he's so adored by, you know, Egyptians and Muslims and the wider community, he gets all that media spotlight, where I don't think Mane gets as much of it, which is probably pumps into people's perception of maybe he isn't one of those people that's top three, whereas, you know, Salah's everywhere, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into some of the comments and stuff now then. Hello to Dave LFC Chats in the comments. I've just seen your name on the side there. Sorry, it was by me. Tom, if you can get us one to get going, that'd be great.
Yeah, got a couple on Gomez. Lennon D'Souza says, Gomez needs a couple of games under his bench to get some rhythm and form. And then Rod Meta says, Gomez was fine, especially considering he sat on the bench forever.
I didn't think he had a good game, I'll be honest. You know, I spoke on the final word, so Tom was the complete opposite to me. Thought he had a great game. And we had two other lads who were probably in the middle of us somewhere. And I don't think he's a bad player. I mentioned that earlier. I think he just had a poor game. I say other people have thought differently. Obviously, you guys obviously do as well. But the sentiment of the two comments is right. Ross.
Tom, Ben.
Honestly.
A lot of people agreed with you, though, Chris, in the comments as well.
Well, thank you very much. Look, Ross, it doesn't matter because he's not a shit player.
No.
Regardless, he just needs games to get back to the level he was playing at.
Yeah, you are right. No one's immune to criticism. That doesn't mean you can't find faults in people's games. But like I said, it was the same for everyone last night. And, you know, I went to go to the play ratings article and go, where do we start with this? Because everyone was great, you know, for large parts of that game. But everyone else was also terrible. So, you know, Gomez, the comment's right. but it's also hard to put him into games when they're also high pressured. You know, Salzburg threw the kitchen sink at us. And he's got to deal with that. Like the comment says, you've been on the bench for ages and you just thrown into a game. It was absolutely, absolutely mental. You know, Van Dijk got done as well. Doesn't make him immune to criticism as well. Doesn't make him a shit player either.
Mm. No, you're right. Any more for us, mate?
Yeah. On the Carabao Cup stuff, Quebec Zebek HD says the fine is better than getting kicked out or worse, playing a replay.
Oh, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? Playing a replay. Like, here's the thing. I think sometimes it's good to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and try and see it from somebody else's viewpoint, isn't it? In life, in all walks of life. If I was MK Dons and Liverpool fielded, or if I was Liverpool and MK Dons went through and they fielded a player who wasn't eligible to play, I'd be absolutely fuming, you know. Because you can say, listen, he only played 30 minutes. He wasn't allowed to play. He did play. He was in part. He was part of the team that beat us.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not right. But then, like, trying to put yourself in the middle somewhere, the likelihood is Liverpool were going to win against them with or without Pedro Quevedo. It's not like we've done it on purpose, but should that really excuse it? I think the FA have done really well in this situation. They've just gone with the Preston set and, for Sunderland in 2014. But really, like, if they're in Liverpool's squad, why are we fucking around with all this registration shite? It's probably done by fax. It's probably not even allowed to be done by email. Because that's what, anytime like you do something with like the bank or something, it's like, you need to fax me. It's like, it's 75 miles to the nearest fax machine now. How am I going to get there? You know what I mean? Anyway, go on, move on.
I know we're kind of touching on it on the build-up show, which is going up later, but Dan the Man says, Rodgers has got Leicester sitting dead in the table. Leicester are no joke. No need to be afraid, but they want respect.
Absolutely. I mean, the build-up show is going to be out later on the main Redmen YouTube channel. It's a really good show, actually, the four of us. We had a really in-depth talk about Brendan Rodgers. Now, we touched on it again in this afternoon show. We had a really good laugh on there. It'll go out later. Not to avoid your comment, but I think we echo your sentiments on the show to the point where, spoilers, I predicted a draw in this game. I really think it's going to be a very, very tough game against Leicester. So there we go. That's been the news show for today. Don't forget, of course, to check out The Athletic. You can get 50% off your yearly subscription. There's no ads, no annoying pop-ups. Visit www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. Link is in the description and it will be the pinned comment. Ross, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you all.
Just going to say, James Pearce is in tomorrow as well.
Oh, he is. He's on the newsroom. That should be a great little show over there. So we're going to split that into two. We'll put half of it onto YouTube and we'll put half of it onto our website as well, which you can go and check out, theredmentv.com. Thank you very much to our sponsors. Thank you very much to Ross and to Tom and for every single one of you for subscribing, liking and commenting live. Ciao.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.